media? Do you guys have media along with your presentation?
I think he was gonna wait a few minutes for Dwayne. When this class thing, it's gonna take a while.
Yeah, no slideshow.
The first thing on the agenda.
Yeah, yep.
We need Jason to get here.
$50 more dollars in general.
Wait, Kayla, you mean like a PowerPoint? No, we don't have a PowerPoint.
Yeah, I was.
No PowerPoint, yeah.
He's struggling to get the TV running, so we were.
It's a good thing we didn't have one.
He'll get it. We're waiting on one council member, he says laptop. Giving him one more.
Let's look here. He said here. I just thought so, I looked through it. The only time I use my computer is when I'm prepared all the time.
No, I'm not, no.
I sent you a text today, did you get it up there?
The image.
Because they were talking about computer in the meeting.
Hey, sure hope we get this up and running today.
Wasn't the documentary with that thing dead?
It's new, you don't have much.
Follows how, what's gonna happen.
Trying to get with him. He's having a hard time.
I will call the meeting to order. First, oh wait. Yeah, first up is the pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the south wall of council chambers. City council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual if such individual has not requested a public hearing. First up tonight, our only item, is the retreat topics. And the first on the agenda is Dr. Teresa Morales and Wayne State College Claw. You guys just wanna come stand right over this.
So Mayor Keys and esteemed city councilmen and women. My name is Adam Smith. I'm a senior at Wayne State, majoring in communications and political science with a minor in pre-law.
And I'm Corey Stewart. I'm a junior in communications.
With me today are members of our campus leadership group, CLAWS, which stands for Civic Leadership at Wayne State. We are a group focused on bridging the gap between the campus leadership and the city of Wayne leadership. And on behalf of the campus community, I want to thank you for inviting us to speak today. We are here to address the issues that exist within this community regarding the student off-campus living experience, as well as issues that students have had with landlords that have property in the Wayne community and surrounding areas. We are also addressing problems that arise from the lack of education that students have regarding off-campus living, as well as address issues that students create while living off-campus as well, in the hopes that the campus leadership and the city leadership can come together to create a plan that will make living in this community a better place for everyone. I will then begin by addressing student concerns that we have from data that we gather from campus. We put out things on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter to kind of get student data, and then from there we kind of broke them down into some bigger issues, then we kind of go into subtopics within those issues. And so what our hope is not to shame any landlord in this community, but rather to bring forth these issues and to maybe kind of find some common ground. And so out of respect for both the students that came forward, that had the courage to come forward, as well as to protect the integrity of some of the landlords in town that were mentioned by name, I will keep those out of the stories. So as I mentioned, I'll begin by presenting some larger topics and then get into specific issues that fit within those topics. So for those of you that don't know, this community is compromised of 50% rental properties. So obviously this is a huge concern and it's something that needs to be addressed. So the first topic that we're going to talk about today is going to be repairs and communication. This first quote comes from a junior at Wayne State College who rents from a private landlord. She said, and I quote, "Our landlord took a year to get back to us regarding fixing a huge hole in our wall. We reached out to her several times via text message and phone calls, and we were ignored. Our text messages via iPhone let us know when someone has read our message, and we reached out to her a total of 6 times to fix this issue, and we were left on read and did not get any sort of response. We also had our outside light go out and had to repeatedly reach out to her via text message and phone calls to get it fixed as well. This light helps us see who knocks on our door at night and is a huge safety concern to us." This next quote comes from the same student who addressed an issue where the ignorance of the issue had to be taken into the hands of Wayne PD. And I quote, "Someone drunkenly smashed our mailbox with her car and she refused to fix it, so the Wayne PD took it into their hands to hold our landlord accountable for the repair," end quote. So there appears to be an issue in regards to tenants contacting or communicating with their landlord when it comes to repairing their facilities, and we also received many stories about this, but this is just one that stood out. Going along with this topic, I received a lot of student feedback regarding the delay or refusal to repair rental properties, as well as a lack of maintenance and cleaning upon move-in. This first quote comes from a student who has been living off campus since June of 2018, and she said, and I quote, "My landlord should not be called a landlord at all, he should be called a slumlord. I live on a street that is entirely his property, and if you drive by, this is evident. There are key necessities to any living facility missing from his properties. Garage doors, gutters, and locks are just some to name a few. His properties overall are not maintained well. He also does not provide enough parking for residents and will call Wayne PD to issue tickets to residents who live there. His apartments smell like animal feces and his houses have holes in the wall. Nothing is updated. Fridges leak constantly and carpets are completely ruined or stained. There are also drainage issues at many of his properties that back up toilets and leave a constant smell of human feces throughout the property. Besides this, there are also many issues that could be considered deadly. For example, the carbon monoxide pipe is not in the correct position, which could easily lead to carbon monoxide poisoning. And there are many smoke alarms that either do not work or not in some of the rooms at all. We have also had issues communicating with him about these repairs. He now lives out of state, so it can take months to get something fixed, and this is not okay with us. If you cannot manage multiple properties, then you should not be allowed to own this many properties in the community in the first place." End quote. This next quote comes from a senior who rented through one of the realty companies here in town, and she stated, and I quote, "We had an awful time communicating with our landlord about repairs that deserved immediate attention. Our bathroom and some of the bedrooms in our basement had a massive black mold problem. We contacted our landlord for several months to fix this, and instead of taking the time to address the issue, they thought it would be best to just paint over the black mold and call it good. Many of us in the house dealt with significant health problems while living in the house that year because of this. We also got charged for a hole in one of the windows that was present before we moved in, and our deposits were withheld from us without an explanation. We asked why we were not given our deposits back, and we were not given a direct answer." And I will note that we also heard many cases where black mold was an issue, particularly when we questioned them where their rooms were located. They were located in bathrooms and in basement bedrooms where large amounts of moisture are present, so that just kind of makes sense. So this next issue had to also deal with black mold issues as well. She said, and I quote, "I had to move out of my house due to health problems I was facing and now live on campus. I am paying for a house I cannot live in because my landlord refuses to deal with the black mold situation in the home. There is a black mold infested fridge in our basement that has been sitting there for months. He has said he'll come to pick it up multiple times, but still hasn't," end quote. As a student who chooses to live off campus, you should not have to be forced to move out because your living conditions cause that significant of a health concern. No student should have to beg for something so basic as adequate living conditions that will not affect their health in such a dramatic way. And there has got to be a way that we can come together to hold landlords accountable for not providing these conditions and inform tenants about what actions they can take to stand up for themselves should this arise. People in this community deserve to enjoy proper living conditions, and we need to come together as leadership to make sure that this is a standard and an expectation in order to retain members of our community and give them a reason to stay here. So that kind of closes that section. The next section deals with quid pro quo, harassment, and then barging in unannounced. So in this next section, I'm going to discuss stories where we heard cases of quid pro quo, harassment, and stories where landlords illegally entered a rental premises without proper notice. I'm going to warn you all that some of the content in these stories is very difficult to hear and was very difficult to read. So I just wanted to acknowledge that it took a great deal of courage upon these students to come forward and share their stories with us in order to better our community. Again, I will leave out names just to keep the integrity of those people intact. And so this first quote comes from a WSC junior who has been living off campus for 2 years. She said, and I quote, "I was sexually harassed living in a property owned by a landlord who owns property not only in Wayne, but in surrounding areas as well. I went to Haven House, Housing Authority, First Realty, and even the police, and no one could do anything to help me. The police told me that because I had not been raped, nothing could be done. He grabbed me, and I have a voicemail of him talking dirty to me, and still nothing could be done. I eventually was able to move out, and at my new property, there was a huge bat infestation. I have had 6 instances since August 1st where I had an interaction with a bat in my own apartment. I told my landlord that they are not coming from outside and are living in the walls of the house, and she did not believe me. The gentleman who lives above me also said he had a bat come through the drywall as well, and not a thing has been done to acknowledge this issue." So this story kind of shows the severity of the climate here in Wayne when it comes to rental properties, and also reiterates the idea that just because you get out of one property does not mean your issues are over. In this case, it seemed like the issues just kind of continued and continued and continued. And so it seems like living off campus, at least for this student, is kind of an uphill battle, and so that's not the way that we want to portray living in our community at all. The next quote comes from a student that I referenced earlier. She says, "I've been confided in many times by friends who said that their landlord said that they could pay for their rent by exchanging sexual favors instead of money. This is disgusting, vile, and completely wrong on so many levels, and is a misrepresentation of those who are good landlords in this community," end quote. And so reading the statement, I wholeheartedly agree with this statement. As we were gathering data, we actually gathered data about, you know, good stories that we heard. In one instance, during finals week, a landlord bought pizza for every single college student that they had. So I really do think that these stories kind of misrepresent, you know, some of the good landlords in a way, which is really unfortunate, because these negative stories often cover up their good reputation. And then 2 days after I received this email, I received an anonymous text message from a Wayne State College student about the same issue. So she said, and I quote, "Hi Adam, I'm texting you from a messaging app in order to remain anonymous. I heard about the issues you're presenting and have a story to share. This is the first time that I've shared this with anybody. I was struggling to come up with the money to pay my rent. In my lease, there was a 5-day grace period, which gave me enough time to come up with the money. I figured it would be courteous to inform my landlord about the late payment, and instead of just saying, I understand or thank you for communicating with me, he told me I could pay him in other ways. I was so shocked and scared that I immediately hung up the phone. My landlord would go on to call me multiple times over the days that followed until I paid him rent for that month. I am frankly scared to live in my own home for fear that one day he will show up and make these demands again. Please help. I don't know what to do," end quote. As leaders who care about this community and students who attend the college and have been in this community, there's got to be something that we can do, whether it be to educate students about what proper steps they should take in case these extreme circumstances arise, or ways that we as a community can hold these landlords accountable for their misconduct. This next story comes from a Wayne State College senior, and the issue deals with improper entering of landlords on rental property without notice. She said, and I quote, "My landlord entered my apartment without my prior knowledge while I was taking a shower. I did not realize he was there until I got out of the shower and was forced to speak to him in only my towel. It was one of the creepiest experiences of my life. I felt extremely violated and felt like my privacy was at stake. I am scared to take a shower in my own apartment now because of this incident," end quote. Community members that rent property here should not have to live in their home and be fearful of being barged in on while doing these activities such as showering or changing, and landlords should not be allowed to enter premises without proper notice. So that kind of ends, you know, some of the data that we gathered. So now we're kind of transition into the student accountability aspect of this, because obviously students are doing things that can also be considered misconduct as well, because there's always two sides to every story. So there are many issues that students are facing that deserves the attention of this leadership and of the campus as well. However, we also acknowledge that there are issues that need to be addressed on the student conduct side as well. So to begin, there are students that throw large social gatherings that increase the chances of damages occurring to the property. Students who decide to host these social gatherings should be held accountable for actions should anything happen to the property. Ways that this can be handled can include use of the security deposit to fix damages, as well as occasionally inspect the property throughout the term of the lease to ensure that damages have not occurred as long as they give proper notice. Furthermore, students should be held accountable for communicating with their landlord when damages occur instead of communicating this to the landlord when they are moving out of the property. When this is communicated on the last day of the lease, it creates a huge problem for landlords in that it gives them a short amount of time to make the necessary repairs in order to get the property ready for the next tenants, which could be as early as the next day, if not within the next couple days. We also believe that students should go into an off-campus living experience with the expectation that there could be terms spelled out in the lease in regards to upkeep of the property as well. This could include cleaning, dusting, vacuuming, wiping down countertops, cleaning fridges and stoves frequently, keeping up with the cutting of the grass, as well as scooping snow during the winter months, and this should be an expectation that they are well aware of and educated on as well. And students should also have some form of education in regards to tenant-landlord law in Nebraska, as well as sign a legal lease that lays out legal standards that pertain to the renting of the property, which includes landlord contact information, the cost of rent, standards regarding the payment of utilities, and other legal standards such as the need for an egress window in every bedroom. This kind of came from the idea that when we were doing our data search, we discovered that many students were living in properties that they did not have a lease with, nor were they living in bedrooms that did not have an egress window. So this is definitely an issue that we need to kind of tackle and both educate the tenant who is signing or not signing the lease, as well as the landlord for not holding up that property and not having the standards of living that it should have. Students should also educate themselves about Wayne City ordinances, which lay out specific living standards that you, the city leadership, expect of us when we sign a lease. One of these standards, which many students are unaware of, is that you cannot have more than four people in an unrelated in the same dwelling place. There are many cases where we saw throughout this community where this is being broken, and students who sign these illegal leases need to be held accountable for not educating themselves about this. And so kind of to wrap this up today, why should we care about this issue? As I referenced earlier, 50% of the community is rental property, so this is a huge concern. This is a huge source of revenue for this community and greatly contributes to the economy of Wayne as well. And secondly, in order to maintain the reputation of our great campus, which as we know is growing significantly, we need to retain top talent in regards to faculty and staff to educate our students. And many of the teachers that are coming in their first year are not looking to buy a house because they really don't know if they're going to stay here or not. So we need to have proper rental properties for them as well so that they're living in good conditions so that they can teach us. Some faculty that come to our campus in their first year, have come to us and said, that they have huge issues as well in regards to the upkeep of the properties that they live in, as well as the living conditions that they are experiencing as well. We need to give these professors, deans, administrators, and other professionals adequate and attractive living conditions if we're going to keep them here in this community, and the same goes with students as well. If you don't give students adequate living conditions to succeed in their academic affairs, then they will look for their education elsewhere. I believe that there are many avenues our leadership can take together to fix these issues that are present within our community. First, our group believes that the reason why many of these problems exist is due to a lack of education on both the landlord and the tenant. The clause group is looking into creating a tenant bill of rights that educates students about what their rights are when they sign a legal lease, as well as remind them of the implications of not signing a lease at all. Secondly, our group believes that making the distribution of the landlord-tenant handbook, which I have right here, how many of you guys know that this existed? Good. Right. I didn't know about it either. This is the first time I've heard about it. So it has a lot of good information just about, what expectations fall on the tenant, which expectations fall on the landlord, as well as some paperwork and documenting things that you can fill out should you have any issues that need to be addressed. So we believe that making the issuance and acknowledgement of this document a city ordinance would, solve a lot of problems that we presented today. And so we are just looking to come together with you guys and not just end this conversation tonight, but also to continue it in the future and to things that we can do, as leadership of both the campus and the community to make this community a better place for all to live in. So to conclude, I would again like to thank you guys for inviting us tonight. I hope that we, brought forward some issues that, maybe we can come together and fix. And we look forward to working with you guys in the future. Thank you very much.
Awesome. And before you run off, we've been in talks about the Landlord Bill of Rights and kind of condensing it down to maybe one sheet front and back to get to students as part of that education piece. And we'll be working with you. I know Joel and I have talked about it with Wes, I believe, was in the room. And Marlon's here. Does anybody have any questions for the group before they...
I have a question. Why would somebody lease a place if it was so bad? I mean, you kind of look around. Why would you lease that place?
So students, money can be tight sometimes, and so, you look for the cheapest ways to live and just to kind of make it through. Wayne State is an affordable campus, and a lot of times the students are first-generation college students. They're not knowledgeable about, how to live off campus because living on campus is maybe more of an expensive option. So they just look for, something alternative, a cheaper alternative that they can, make it by, just to get your 4 years of college to get a degree.
May I contribute?
Yeah.
And with that too, a lot of things, like when you post online, the properties look really good or nice, and then it kind of seems like there's a time where you're applying for rentals that is just kind of crazy and you want to get one really fast because it's gone within 5 minutes sometimes. And so when you say, like, we're in, we want it, you have your group, you know, you're living with four people, you find this place, you let the landlord know, and then it's kind of like set in stone.
Acknowledging the timeline, a lot of times the leases end during either study week or finals week. So it's kind of a chaotic time for students to kind of find a place, another place to live, or re-sign the lease that they currently are on. But a lot of times landlords will go ahead and have someone else sign the lease without acknowledging that, you know, someone else has signed it. So they have like 2 weeks to basically move out. We heard stories about that as well, where, you know, tenants were going in to, with an expectation that they would live there for another year, and then someone came in and signed the lease in front of them, so.
May I contribute? To that question, oftentimes university faculty are hired at the very last minute. And I know of a particular situation where everything was done from a distance without even having a chance to view the house because of moving a large distance away. And so upon coming, was then informed it's not common practices to do leases in Wayne, and you don't want to stir anything up. It'll get you on the wrong side of the college. Also, when bringing to attention the substandard conditions of the property and the presence of this landlord's personal property in the basement, in the garage, in the yard, in the attic, the very next day, a 30-day notice was given to two faculty at Wayne State, and it was 2 weeks before the end of the semester. And we had 30 days to find somewhere to live. So, and these are people who have their doctorate degrees and are trusting the integrity of a landlord who is giving the impression that they're representing the norm here, and you're not wanting to cause any problems, and you're desperate. There's nothing else available. So a video walkthrough, and you don't know that stuff is even there until you get there. So.
In the interest of time's sake, we probably better be moving on. Can you get an electronic copy sent to someone in the city here?
Of what I wrote today, or?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
If
yeah.
you would. BJ, do you have something?
Quick question. Are you aware you can file a complaint with the city?
See, I was aware of that, but we were talking to students, you know, just in passing in conversation. Many of them are just not educated enough to know that they just really don't know. This is their first time living away from home in a house or an apartment. And so everything that kind of happens all at once. It seems kind of scary, overwhelming. So they just don't know what their next steps are. So I think if we educate people, then these issues can be solved if we just educate
and
people.
Joel, that process is?
So if you have a complaint, say you're living in a basement apartment with no egress windows, we have a form here you can email us that says, this is the issue, the building code violation, this is my name, this is how you contact me. And then we take it from there and contact the landlord, and we give them 7 days to contact us to set up an inspection. We go through and we look at, we're really going to look at all the safety of code issues with property maintenance code, so if there's no handrails, there's no smoke detectors. So we don't just look at the one issue that brought up, we'll see if there's other things too. And then once we do that, we work together with the landlord to set a time frame that's reasonable to correct whatever the issues are. If it's smoke detectors, it may just show us 3 days, they get smoke detectors and we're going back in 3 days. If it's something like an egress window, it's probably going to be longer, like 30 days, but in the meantime, we may require that the tenant may not be able to live in that room. They may need to move in a different room to sleep for that time period until the egress window can get put in. If the code violations are so bad, it may be possible we just mark the property uninhabitable and never be asked to move out if the landlord's not willing to make those kind of corrections to egress windows. If there's structural issues that we're concerned that the building is not safe to be in, it gets to that time frame, we've actually had buildings that have been condemned and the city's made the landlord take the building down too.
And then Chief Chin, anything about some of the more criminal aspects of what they were reporting? Any advice on?
Well, I guess I have some concerns with, you know, a couple of years said that they contacted us, said there's nothing they can do, whether it be an assault, sexual harassment, whatever. I guess that concerns me. By all means, they need to contact us. So it can be investigated to see, is it a criminal matter? Can it be acted upon? Some things we discover is a lot of things get said or back to us second, third, fourth hand that never gets reported to us directly. So that's important too. I mean, if they're dealing with something, they need to report it.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's always an education. It's an education thing. I mean, I went to college too, and my parents moved me into a place. I moved into a place sight unseen. I mean, and it was an education. I mean, it's education for both parties. I don't feel like there's not a lot that we can do besides provide that information. I didn't know anything about that either. I think that's a great thing. I don't know whether we stick it in the utility bill on those rental properties, you know, every year on the May 1st, that they go in there.
Yeah, we'll keep you updated on.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally an educational thing.
I was just going to say, over 20 years at Wayne State College, I've had numerous students come to me. I usually send them to the state webpage in regard to the rights or whatever the case may be, but I think that one of the biggest things for students is that they fear the reprisal of the landlord, mm-hmm. and or holding back deposits and all these other things. I've heard a lot of stories about that. And I don't think anybody should tolerate, even as a community, that kind of power on the side of an owner of a rental place or whatever the case may be, where it almost gets to the point of extortion. And I know many, many students over the years that had significant issues, but they're afraid to come forward. And so it popped into my head like an advocacy group or something, so a person doesn't feel so alone, and maybe an established entity can help students bring things forward so they don't feel alone. And let's face it, a lot of the parents themselves are saying, you know, you're going to get sued, you're going to whatever. I mean, even parents are fearful of people they don't know, and the fact that daughter's away from college or your son's away from college, and they're kind of on their own in this community or whatever the case may be. But a lot of it's associated with their fear of reprisal.
Right, and so I think that's what this group is kind of was established to do, is kind of bridge the gap between the community of Wayne and, you know, the college, and just kind of bring forth issues and just kind of be a voice for the students that do have concerns. And so that's another thing that this group can continue to do, not just tonight, but you know, in the future as well.
Jason, on the flip side, if you do complain, and they can give you a 30-day notice and you're out. And now there's no place for you to live. I mean, I can see as a student how I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to live in the mold.
Yeah.
Because
there's state agencies that protect you. Depending on the violation, the EEO Commission, I just watched on NET the other night about landlords can't kick people out filing stuff. So there's a group you need to get a hold of.
No, the bigger issue is Joel kick you out because it's uninhabitable. I mean, that's the fear maybe of a student saying,
right.
God, how far do we push this? Because I don't want to be out with, you know, without a place
to live.
Yeah,
and without a place to live. That would be my fear. I'm not going to complain because Joel's going to walk through and there's going to be 30 things wrong. I don't have a place to live. I'm going to tolerate
In the interest of managing the schedule, thank you for coming in. Great discussion. I look forward to working with your group. Thank you, Dr. Morales. We'll continue the dialogue.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Kayla, I didn't ask you to rescue him.
I did 30 for the first one. That's people are out here at 11.
That's right.
Media 2 Center is up next. Amber?
Okay, so my name is Amber Shorty. I'm the